a month each, and they're like on some island, you know, somewhere, and they don't have to do anything. I don't believe that. I think that's a myth personally. But doing real estate and being, you know, you are in that case having your own business, and you are in business for yourself, and you own all the assets of the business. So you've positioned yourself in a much better scenario in life that is much, you know, as you pay those properties off, will probably eventually produce a significant amount, you know.
A great book can totally challenge your conventional thinking and change your life for good. However, some of us just don't have the luxury of time of sitting down to read a book. But there are some instances in which we do have dead time, and these are perfect times to learn. So we can learn while driving instead of jamming to the same music on the radio, or maybe at the gym. Well, now you can. Dwelling has partnered with Amazon's Audible to give you, the Dwell listeners, a free book. Yes, a free book. So all you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/dwelling and download your free book. This will also be in the show notes. You can click on the link. And if you don't have a book in mind and you say, "Ola, I don't actually know where to start with." Well, awesome, because I can tell you what to start with today. It's a quintessential classic. It's called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So download Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and that would basically just take your mind on a different spin. Of course, I'm always open to hear from our Dwell listeners. So email me at ola@dwelling.com. And then feel free to also give us a rating and review. This really helps us to rank better in iTunes. I can't wait to hear from you guys. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us on the Dwelling Show. I'm your host, Ola Dantes. I've got Joe Dinsato with us today. Hey, Joe, how are you doing?
Hey, good, Ola. How are you, man? It's good
to see you. Doing fantastic. Yeah, good to see you, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, on the Dwelling Show, there's a bunch for us to talk about. You've retired at the young age of 43, so I definitely would want to touch on that. So can you just kind of give our listeners a little bit more about you, Joe, who you are, what you've been doing, and kind of where you're at right now?
Yeah, well, I kind of describe myself as sort of a do-it-yourself entrepreneur type. I've always just liked to learn by doing, and went to college, but I was excited to get out and just kind of get to working and kind of figuring things out. And just along the way, you know, I've always been interested in personal finance. Like, I didn't study finance per se. Like, in school, I actually was an art and photography major. So I have kind of like an art brain and like a math brain. And so I pursued that as like my studies, but I always was into finance, personal finance, and kind of just keeping track of my finances and investing and stuff like that, you know, for the obvious reasons that it's probably just a good thing to do, but it also just happens to be something I'm interested in. So I actually kind of feel like I taught myself a lot about business management and money management just by, you know, tracking my own personal expenses, you know, and income and expense, and understanding that ultimately you need to make more than you spend, obviously, both in life and in business. And you know, another thing about me is I did always want to own my own business as well. So I always had that in the back of my mind. I like personal finance. I wanted to own a business, and I really was interested in buying real estate as soon as I could, you know, just my own house. Those are kind of things that were rolling around in my mind after college. And I got comfortable with like kind of running the numbers of businesses, like I said, doing it myself. And then eventually I was kind of looking for a kind of business that fit in with my art interest. And luckily I did find my way into post-production. Originally I kind of studied photography and I was going to pursue that. And then I learned about post-production, which is, you know, if any of your listeners don't know what that is, you know, when you make a TV show or a movie or a television commercial or a music video, the first thing you do is shoot the footage. That would be the production portion of the process. And then post-production is everything that happens after that. So it's video editing, it's some visual effects, graphic design and animation, sound design, sound editing and sound mastering, all that's part of the post-production process. And when I originally learned about it, it was kind of like I took my photography knowledge, which, you know, included both photography, but also like digital imaging, like Photoshop and all that sort of stuff. And post-production took that and kind of put it in motion, essentially. It was like, you know, motion pictures, quote unquote. So when I got into that right after college, I felt lucky to have, you know, kind of navigated my way into that business. And I immediately saw it as the kind of business that would be perfect for me to eventually start. So I kind of set out right after college with that goal in mind, and also with the goal of buying a house, you know, my own house as soon as I could. And, you know, seeing where all that took me. And I just kind of decided to jump in, like, and learn as much as I could about post-production. I eventually decided to leave. I was in New York City doing that and decided to leave and move to Los Angeles, where I thought there was, like, more opportunity. And was really happy I made that move, because I love living in Los Angeles. It was a great, great place, great time. And I was there for about 20 years. And things went pretty well overall. And eventually my wife and I had a kid. And, you know, the post-production business, entertainment, advertising, it's a lot of hours. It's a long hours business. You really got to commit, you know, to just living it as a lifestyle. I mean, that's true for a lot of businesses. But once we had our kid, we were like realized that working lots of hours all of a sudden, you know, was really hard to do while also, you know, keeping one eye on this child. No one really tells you that kids are like 24-hour surveillance. Like you actually can't like not stop, you know, you can't stop watching them.
Yeah, for at least 18 years, right? At least 18 years.
Or you got to pay someone to watch them. But so we decided, well, things had gone pretty well up to that date. We kind of built up a pretty decent net worth, and we decided that we would try to, you know, exit our kind of crazy lifestyle, move to a cheaper area, reduce our overhead, and see if we could work less. And, you know, and I actually kind of consider myself what I call semi-retired, because a lot of our investments are in real estate, and they're not always producing enough cash flow at this point for us to live off of entirely. So I work part-time now, which is actually great because I really do like working, and, you know, make about 3/4 of our income from that, and then the rest we supplement with, you know, cash flow from real estate. So
yeah,
it's been a good change. It's been a really crazy change, but, you know, we are able to spend a lot more time with our kid, which is our goal, and we've been enjoying that, and now we live in Florida.
Nice. I mean, there's so many things that you said, but I really wanted to kind of jump on something that you said. You said that the cash flow from the real estate you own now is not enough, you know, to where you'll be completely retired, right? So you're semi-retired. And, you know, there's also this big saying in the real estate investing world, like, you know, quit your job, burn the boats, and, you know, just go all in, right? That's one school of thought, obviously. So what, you know, what are your thoughts in terms of, you know, folks that are thinking of actually leaving a day job, you know, maybe well-paying, maybe not, but leaving a well-paying job, let's say, to go into real estate full-time?
You know, I look at it a few, a lot of people talk about real estate as this passive income stream and all that sort of stuff. And you know, there's a wide range of what that could mean in real estate. But, you know, I look at it like this, like with anything in life, the more you put in, the more you're going to get out, right? So if you're going to work your real estate, as in you're going to really dig for deals, you're going to do renovations yourself or manage them yourself, you're going to find your own tenants, you're going to manage the property. That's not a passive endeavor. I mean, that you just basically, you know, changing your career from whatever your current day job is now to being a real estate property manager, you know, of the properties of which you also happen to own. So, you know, the whole idea of people having like 50 doors that produce $300 a month each, and they're like on some island, you know, somewhere, and they don't have to do anything, I don't believe that. I think that's a myth personally. But doing real estate and being, you know, you are in that case having your own business, and you are in business for yourself, and you own all the assets of the business. So you've positioned yourself in a much better scenario in life that is much, you know, as you pay those properties off, will probably eventually produce a significant amount, you know, more positive cash flow, and maybe then you could pay someone to manage it and it could be truly passive, you know. So I think overall that's a good thing to do, especially if you don't like your career. It's a great way to get in business for yourself. Now, truly passive real estate is something that you don't do any of those things. You don't really find, you know, the good deal. You don't do the renovation. You don't get the tenants. And you don't manage it, right? And modern today, that's called turnkey real estate, as you probably know. But, you know, and I actually did, I own a bunch of turnkey real estate. I own about 8 properties. And I did a study on like how much positive cash flow they actually generate. And the reality is it's not that much, you know? You don't do that much work for those properties. So you're probably more realistically going to be getting some kind of return that is in line with, like, you know, the stock market, something like that. So if you look at the studies on my website, you definitely do better, I think, on overall versus stocks, but it doesn't all come in terms of cash flow. In my case, it was really a mix of more principal pay down and appreciation, where I made pretty good returns on my invested cash in those properties. But those weren't generating the cash flow stream. Now, I own a couple of properties down here in Florida that I do the management on. I manage the renovations of. I got it a good deal. And those are producing pretty good positive cash flow every month. And that's really the main, you know, stream. So, you know, I guess ultimately, from my perspective, and, you know, you can go on Reddit, you can go anywhere, and you can find people telling you they're making $1,000, you know, a month because of cash flow on their single family house. I don't know if that's true or not, but I hope it is for their sakes. But if that's what's happening, it's because that person has put in a ton of work into creating an investment that's really, you know, going to create that kind of return. And, you know, you can, if you trade your time for money, I guess, you know. So, but, like, you know, I like the fact that I'm working part-time, I have more time for our family, and calling myself semi-retired is like an easy way to explain my scenario to people. But, you know, I like working, you know, and I like working on real estate, and I like doing renovations, and, you know, and also liked owning a business. So
you know, yeah, I mean, I really want
to get out of working personally, but I definitely wanted to work less and have more control over my week and my days, and be able to take off any given day of the week and go do something, you know, or whatever. So, that was kind of my goal, as opposed to just like stopping, you know.
right. So yeah, the other thing was that I wanted to bring out. So, you know, you started your own post production company in LA. You know, you grew the thing from like 30. You know, you grew the company to like 30 employees. You had like 5 million in annual revenue, producing like 2 critically acclaimed documentaries and an Emmy-winning HBO series. So you've done a lot in the business world. So have you seen some of that translated into real estate investing? Have some of the skills that you learned, has that kind of helped you as an entrepreneur in real estate?
Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, I look at real estate, it's like a business, you know? I mean, again, as always, with any successful business, it has to make more money than it spends. You know, you have to make a good return on your invested money and the time you put in. And, you know, real estate's no different in that sense. So, and also along the way, like, for our business, you know, I'll cut to saying that, you know, in terms of real estate, it's actually done quite well for us is our residences too. And I've always bought houses that were kind of fixer uppers that I could do work on over the time of living there and create some value, you know? And I call that the live and flip, you know, where you buy like, you know, a cheaper house in a good neighborhood or whatever. And, you just pick away at the work, you do it while you live there and you create value. And in those and with houses that you own, you don't pay taxes on your profits, so it's a huge tax benefit that adds to the return. But we did the same thing with our businesses' homes, I guess you would say. About 3 years into starting a business, we needed to get a bigger space, and So we were looking around, and the reality is with commercial real estate, most of the time you got to do your own renovations. I mean, at least in LA. So I was like going out looking at properties to rent, and I'm like, oh wow, so I'm going to rent this, but I have to put like $500,000 of renovations into this place to make it what I need it to be. Like, wow, that just seems really, really like a weird thing to do, to spend all that money for the benefit of like the someone else who owns this property. So I was like, shouldn't we just own our own office? That seems to make sense to me. And it's no different than the concept of, you know, owning your own house. We're going to be spending money on rent anyway, so we might as well have that rent going into an investment that we happen to also own. And so those projects that were actually kind of bigger projects, they were, you know, 10,000 plus square foot buildings that needed like significant development and stuff, and like full architectural, full permitting, full, you know, everything. But, you know, so I really had to like put pen to paper on those things to see if it was going to be a successful endeavor for us, really to do it, you know, based on the amount of money we had to put up, based on, you know, the long-term risk and what have you. So my business skills of just, you know, analyzing exactly what we're doing, exactly what, you know, what we're selling, what our services are, like what our gross profits are on what we're doing, and, you know, just doing all the basic, you know, legitimate math you have to do to decide if your business venture is the worthwhile venture. I, you know, started applying that to the more larger scale real estate endeavors. And in the end, we ended up doing two. We bought the building at that time. We were there for about 8 years. The market really had a good uptick. So we decided to sell, take some of our winnings, and then put the rest into a new building that we thought was, that was bigger and in a better location. And also in our case had a parking lot, because our first building didn't even have on-site parking, which is, you know, kind of crazy.
And what was that, the $10 million commercial property?
Yes. Yeah. That second one that we did, it turned out to be about a $10 million project. And, you know, that sounds crazy to me even saying it. I mean, you know, that's not a lot of money for big real estate developers, but again, you know, we're small business owners. We're just like regular people doing our best and like having some luck and working hard. And so that was like a really big, you know, endeavor for us. We're like, are we really doing this? You know, this is crazy. But you know, you keep upping the ante for yourself, I feel like, in life. And, you know, with every time you do that, you grow and your capacity for like comfort within like bigger deals grows. And but you always got to do the math. That's the other thing, right? I kind of say about myself, I am the guy, you know, I'm the type of guy that does the math. Like, you can do the math on pretty much everything in life. And figure out, you know, to a fairly reasonable degree what's going to happen before it happens. But, you know, a lot of people don't like doing the math, so they just go do stuff. And you know, sometimes it works out great, and sometimes, you know, it doesn't. And, you know, their process. But I do the math.
That's you gotta do the math. I always say my Excel spreadsheet, my cell doesn't take excuses, only numbers.
Exactly, man.
Yeah. So you say something that I really like, you know, how to retire rich and still have a family. So I'll put a little bit of a twist on that. How to retire wealthy and still have your wife.
right.
And yeah, she still likes you.
It's interesting. Like, it's funny. I mean, we did it the way we did it, which was basically, I didn't have a kid until I was 40. And I think that's a good way to go, especially knowing what I know about kids now that I have one, is that they suck up a ton of your time and a ton of your money. So, like, not that that's a bad thing, but, you know, if you don't have them till a little later, you give yourself more time to accumulate and, like, you know, spend the hours you need to build your career and, like, put in the weekend hours to, you know, go real estate hunting and do all those things. So, you know, that just I didn't set out to do it that way. It's just like I was just enjoying working, and I was like, I don't really want to, you know, change course. And then
yeah, if my wife, yeah, you say that to wait till 40, she might have an issue with that.
Yeah, I know it's not for everyone, and it does have its drawbacks in that, you know, you're a little more tired at 40, and kids have a lot of energy, but. Like my wife, luckily, she was kind of on the same page. She worked too. We both worked a lot in LA. We were in the same business. We worked together. And so we were happy kind of just working on the career for a while. And then, you know, what happened was is we had our son, and we felt lucky that we were in a position where we could change course. Like we had accumulated enough money basically where we felt like comfortable taking that kind of leap, that we had runway to do that and time to figure out if we could, you know, figure out a new thing to do that was part-time, that was still making money and filling the gaps and so on. So, and then we moved, you know, we could move because we were like, well, we're going to change our work. She's not working now. She's a full-time mom. And I was able to put together this sort of consulting business that I can do from anywhere. So, you know, we moved from LA, but that was another big thing. Like we were able to buy a house here in Florida outright. And, you know, our monthly payment for our housing is just very low. And it's significantly lower than LA. It's like over $5,000 less a month. So, you know, having those options and those choices, we were very thankful for. You know,
right, right, yep, yep, yep.
The opportunity to kind of shake it up.
Right, right, man. Joe, we can keep going, but we're definitely dwelling into the quick rounds now. These are going to be quick questions, quick answers. You ready, sir?
All right,
all right. Yep. Okay, first question: what makes you, Joe, unique? What is that differentiating factor that separates you from the next guy or the next girl?
Well, what I think is one of my differentiating factors, it's not all that charming, but I basically have a little bit of OCD or obsessive compulsive disorder. I mean, luckily it's not like a clinical where I'm like washing my hands all the time or whatever, but once I get started on something, it's like really hard for me to put it down until I'm done with it. And it's kind of maddening at times, but it's like a trait that like I've put to really good use in my life. And so doing all these businesses and doing all this stuff, it's like once I start, I just like can't stop until like I get it to like the next stage, even though sometimes it drives me insane. So that is one of my like secret sauces, I guess, that I've been blessed with.
nice. Yeah, I like it. Next question. What was the last book that you read, and kind of what was the one thing that you picked out from that book?
The last book that I read is not a business book. It's called A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. And I think it's really good for whether you're, you know, business focused in your life or not. Like, you know, I'm trying to find some part of life that's like less work oriented right now, but it's really about ultimately like, realizing that like the important things in life are happening like right now. They're not like off into the future and they're not behind you. Like you need to pay attention and enjoy what you're doing right now. And if you're not enjoying it, you know, you got to recognize that too and try to make some changes. So it's a really cool book. It's a very unique way to like understand the human psyche. And I recommend it to everybody. I think it's a really fascinating book. It's called, The New Earth by Eckhart Tolle.
Eckhart Tolle. And he has
a really soothing voice.
Yeah, I know him.
I listen to it.
Yeah.
He has a very soothing voice, so it's actually a really nice book to like just fall asleep to.
Nice. Final question. You guys are in sunny Florida. You've got your wife, you got your son. You know, you've got obviously the businesses going. What do you do for fun?
You know, I have to say, I'm still like lacking a little bit on the fun side because the free time now is filled up with our son, and that is super fun. But it's not like I'm up golfing or whatever. So one of my really fun things to do with my son is he's 4 and he's, you know, into the kind of razor scooter now, and he really digs that. So usually, you know, 3 or 4 times a week, we raise our scooter down to like one of the local, you know, lots, like elementary school parking lot, and like basically shred the lot and ride up on the sidewalk and slalom around car stops and stuff like that. So that is definitely something that I enjoy doing. We do that a bunch of times a week. And we play a lot of Monopoly, actually, in the last few months with the COVID thing. He's really taken into Monopoly. I mean, I have to say, I'm really impressed.
That's good.
He legit beat me at Monopoly.
Wow, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, I got a great photo I could send you. You could put on the page or something. It's of him, like, with his actual winnings and all the properties. He does love Park Place and Boardwalk, I have to say.
Yeah, he's smart. He's going to be a great real estate investor.
I hope so.
So if there's somebody listening to our conversation and maybe they want to check out your blog, Play Louder, or they just kind of want to connect with you, kind of learn more about you, you know, what's the best place for them to reach out and get to learn more about you?
Yeah, my blog is a great place to go, playlouder.com. I mean, I got social medias, but admittedly, I'm not all that great on there, but I do post everything on my social medias. But yeah, on my website, what I'm doing now, like, you know, kind of for that part-time living, is doing financial and business consulting for small businesses, mostly in Los Angeles, but some now just in Austin and Minneapolis. And so they kind of pay me to do all these things for them, but I, you know, have lots of posts and information and free courses that apply all that info that you kind of put to a small business to the individual, you know, and it's all on my website. I enjoy putting it out there. You know, I'm available for questions and answers. And so I would go check that out, and you can learn a little bit more about me too, if you like. I mean, I really do feel like you have to treat your personal life, you, as the business of you, you know, even if you have a, you know, regular full-time job, you know, you're still a business, you're providing a service yourself. You have one client in that case, but you want to like do a good job for them. Hopefully they'll want to keep paying you more and all that sort of stuff. So I've always had that mindset of whatever I'm doing, I just kind of be business minded about it. I often say that, you know, people need to be financially prudent, business minded, and investment focused.
Wow, you know, love in life that.
To be successful. So I apply all the thoughts of owning and running a business just to your personal life. You know, treat it the same way.
Joe, thank you so much. Learned a ton myself. I really appreciate you taking time out today. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you having me on, man.
You may have heard the phrase, there are 1,000 ways to make $1,000 in real estate. Well, now you can actually tune into the world's longest running daily real estate investing podcast with over 1,000, believe it, over 1,000 podcasts and still going. The best real estate investing advice ever show is hosted by a very good friend of mine, Joe Fellers. Joe talks to influential thought leaders. We share the best advice ever with none of the fluff. You've got to check this stuff out. So listen and subscribe at bestevershow.com. That's bestevershow.com.